FunFactory.com has partnered with Locker Room Talk and Shots. So when you use my special code SELS20, you get 20% off your Fun Factory purchase. Just head to us.funfactory.com and use my code SELS20 at checkout for 20% off sex toys, lube, massage oils, and more. Cheers.
Do the sex.
Hi, this is Annette Benedetti, your hostess for Locker Room Talk and Shots, the podcast that likes to think of itself as the queer NPR of raunchy women's sex talk. You are about to sit in on the kind of conversations women have on their girls' nights out or behind closed doors while enjoying delicious drinks and dishing about sex. Think fun, honest, and feminist as fuck, and always with the goal of fighting the patriarchy one orgasm at a time. Welcome to the locker room.
Ring loop.
Today's locker room talk topic is how to make us come, how to make women come, how to make people with vulvas come. And this conversation is not one with a professional, but it's one with two vulva owners who have decided we are ready to share how you can get us there. I think it's time that we just talk about how we are actually coming, like what's actually working in real life situations. Yeah. And I'm not talking about alone. I'm talking about with another person, whether the other person is someone who also has a vulva or somebody who has a cock. And I am here with my very, very good friend, Liberty, to talk about how we've been coming for as long as we've been coming.
Yeah. It's, yep. What, okay, sounds good.
What makes this
conversation?
It's going to be candid. And by the end of this podcast, we're going to re-round up our suggestions. If you are somebody who is trying to make a woman or someone with a vulva come, you're going to have a path there, at least to try. You're going to have a couple paths and some hardcore tips that are definitely going to make you a better lover, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
But Liberty, before we go on, I want you to remind – so Liberty has been on this podcast several times with me now, but I want you to remind the listeners, like just throw out a couple of the ones so they can scroll back and if they haven't listened, listen to them.
From Housewife to Ho, Unicorn, Three Isn't Always – what's it called? Three Isn't Always a Crowd.
Mm-hmm. Threesomes and Unicorns.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Last one was Bisexual Visibility and – Body Count.
I would say this. In this podcast, you are going to find out that our body count, mine and Liberty's, you know, it's going to be a benefit to you because our body count is not low. We have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
With not coming.
Yeah.
And then coming.
Yes, of course.
Of course. And we are having a drink today together. Yeah.
It's a Thursday afternoon drink.
Baby Friday. And we made it up. We got some, it's kind of like a mimosa, but not really. We have some champagne and
sparkling wine and some of this lovely blueberry syrup from IKEA. You can buy it in the food section. And it's so delicious to add to anything, to water, sparkling water, or Prosecco or champagne.
Yeah. Well, we're having champagne. So, hey, let's get ready to talk about coming.
Okay.
One of my favorite things.
Yes.
FYI, on that note, Liberty and I just made a decision. So if you are not on my YouTube channel, Annette Benedetti, you're going to want to head there. I am doing sex toy reviews. I get sent lots of sex toys to review. And I have a lot of sex toys. I've only used one. My home is overflowing with sex toys. I can no longer keep all of them. So what we decided was this. I'm going to share my sex toys with Liberty, who is then going to test drive them as well. And we are going to be revisiting these sex toys and discussing her impression of them, my impression of them. And it will be kind of like a re-review, but with two women's opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their partners, uh-huh. how they enjoyed using them. I mean, with us.
Because we are definitely going to use the sex toys with our partner. So when two women share toys, what happens? Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, we at least at this point have not shared them together, but you know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
You never know.
We would do a podcast on that.
Yeah.
So, but let's start with orgasms. I want to kick this off, Liberty, with an article I wrote a while ago, and I outlined, and I actually did a little video on this as well, 17 types of orgasms that people can have.
Oh, I was just talking about this the other day. I can't wait to hear the 17 types. I don't think I can come up with 17, but I can come up with like five maybe.
Yeah, and then I thought we could figure out how maybe as I'm naming them, we can say if we've had them or not too.
Okay. Okay.
And I did do a little TikTok video, a video that's also up on YouTube about them. So you can go watch that. But we're going to start with kind of, oh, and in this article I wrote, I also named the toys that can get you there. So
ooh, that's
I will put this article in the description of this podcast. I mean, the very first one that we all talk about is the clitoral mm-hmm. orgasm. I don't think it needs it. You know, if you haven't found the clit yet, you need to go and find the clit. And there are books that I've reviewed. And yes. I have tons of episodes on helping you find the clitoris. So just scroll back through mm-hmm. and keep listening. But the clitoral orgasm, have you had that? Yes.
Yes.
We both yes. had it. And there's some stat, like 80 some odd percent of vulva owners need clitoral stimulation to orgasm. Have you had a G-spot orgasm?
Yes. I mean, I would assume that includes squirting, but you and I, we have different feelings about squirting.
Yes.
Okay.
I definitely have. I found my G-spot in the last 2 years and it's amazing. All right. And the G-spot, for those of you that don't know, is right inside your vaginal opening on like the stomach side of your mm-hmm. vaginal opening. Now, the A-spot is about 2 inches deeper, same wall from the G-spot. Have you had that?
I don't know if I have. If I have, I don't know it.
Okay. I am pretty confident I have. But in order for my A spot to light up, my G spot has to light up first.
Okay.
All right. O spot, it is on the other side of the vaginal wall, like between like the rectum, you know, the wall that the rectum and mm-hmm. the vagina share?
Oh, yeah. I think I've had that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Now, I mean, I didn't know a lot of these terms, so I'm learning with you all.
And we're all learning. I think that I hit the O spot when I'm getting anal sex. That's my theory. So anyways.
Is that on this list?
Maybe I should keep reading.
Okay.
So the P spot and the O spot are basically, I think they're the same thing.
Is that the perineum?
No, the P spot is, it's that my research said the P spot and the O spot are located close to one another. I'm not sure how to tell them apart. Sorry, I actually wrote that in the article. So basically, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Just try and hit
this
that.
Is not clinical, folks.
This is, well, I mean, I did look at research articles.
I know, I believe you.
But I can't, I don't know. Couldn't feel it on myself. The U-spot orgasm. Now, this one's interesting. It can be induced by stimulating the sensitive area around the urethral opening on the vulva. Now, that is right, I believe, below the clitoris. Yeah. Between the clitoris and the vaginal.
No. Do not touch that spot on me.
Oh,
that's
you don't
like sensitive.
It?
No.
I love that.
No. Like too close to the urethra, that makes me want to throw up.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like when after having babies, that spot was like very sensitive and I hated it. When every time I do swim laps, I could feel like water gushing over it and it made me want to throw up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've mm-hmm. never kind of when like you a, were swimming,
yeah, like a prolapsed urethra is what it felt like, I guess.
Is that a thing?
I don't know, but it was very uncomfortable. Thank God everything bounced back to normal. But oh no, don't touch that.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Yeah,
I like that. I like that feeling. And so, not only are you going to get educated, you're going to learn that you have to ask women. Mm-hmm. First of all, find out where all of these little pieces and parts are.
Yeah.
And then ask her.
I think I have had to redirect a hand or some a tongue away from that spot before.
Well, because it's close to the clit.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
You know.
Of course.
I like that feeling. And I've definitely had a U-spot orgasm. And sometimes I think I like them more than the clit orgasms.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Blended orgasms, that's where any two spots make you come at the time. So it can be a G-spot plus a clitoral mm-hmm. orgasm. At this, have you had that?
Yeah. Penetration and clitoral stimulation at the same time. Yes.
There you go. And let's see, multiple orgasms. That's where you just continue.
I am a multiple orgasm machine.
That's so it's going to be really useful to find out how to make... how to make Liberty come, because she comes a lot. Apparently, I'm liking you a little bit less right now. Liberty. Okay, squirting orgasm.
I'm a squirter.
She's a squirter. I am not. We have a podcast episode on that as well. I have not had a squirting orgasm. I've squirted, but it was definitely not an orgasm for
me. Oh, my God. I've had like... just mind-blowing squirting orgasms that made me like almost like cry. I think I've cried. Just like your whole body goes into like convulsions almost.
Was it like a fire hose?
It can be. The one particular time I'm thinking about it, I squirted like up in the air and it landed on my face. Yeah. God, that's a whole nother podcast. We can talk about it, but that was when I was hypnotized.
Oh, that is another.
Yeah, I was hypnotized and into submission and basically fingered until I squirted into the air on my own face and then cried a lot. And then he left.
God damn, I knew it was a man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cheers to that. Yeah. Cheers to that, Liberty. All right.
A one-off experience. Mm.
Nipple orgasm. You know, boobies.
Yes. Yes, I have had that. Oh, my God. I've had that a few times, and it's really wild. I didn't even know that was something that I could do or have. It's only two people I can think of that have – made that happen for me, not myself, two partners, but wow.
All right. Well, we're going to get back to how that happened because I'm sure many of the listeners are like, well, how the fuck can I get someone to do that? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that has never happened to me. Corgasm. This is a weird one. It's like basically you can get it through workouts. Like if you're doing like crunches and stuff. Oh, my God, you have.
No, but I'm like, I can imagine it. I can imagine it.
I can't. Like sit-ups and lifting weights, and it sounds like oftentimes they're spontaneous. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Imagine being at the gym or in a workout class and like just spontaneously coming from doing sit-ups.
That's wild. I can totally imagine that happening.
I'd have a six-pack by now. I would just be doing it all the time. All right. A mental orgasm. There are people who can literally, and I have interviewed someone on this podcast who believes that just she can work herself in an orgasm. Have you ever done that?
No, but I don't know if it's if it's the same. I've had orgasms in my dreams, like for real, like woke up in the middle of one, like a wet dream. I've had it a couple times.
I wonder if that, let's keep going. Let's see if that counts. There may be the sleep orgasms, mm-hmm. anal orgasms. Have you ever had no other stimulation?
No other stimulation.
I don't know if that's a thing for women.
I know. Done it to someone.
That's hot. That is hot.
But I don't know if I can... I would say probably yes. I would say yeah. I mean, was there foreplay involved? I'm sure there was. To get to the point of having anal sex, there's got to be some other things happening, touching. But maybe, I'm sure I've had an anal orgasm without clitoral stimulation at the same time. And probably multiple orgasms following that.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had an anal orgasm just from anal sex. However, comma, I know that it's different because sometimes when I have an orgasm during anal sex, the feeling is intensely amazing, but in a different way than it is when it's a clitoral orgasm. So I may be warming myself up with my clit getting in the ass, but that orgasm feels totally different.
It's totally different.
It's amazing.
And, but when you're done, you're done for me.
Oh, God, I hate the pull out.
Well, if you're like, if they haven't come yet and you're done, it can be brutal. It can be like, okay, come on. Okay, let's hurry this up now because I'm done now. And because I've had like the most intense orgasm and then I'm done.
Yeah. Also, my sphincter gets really tight afterwards and it's like out.
Yeah.
Out.
Yes. Yeah.
Out. An energetic orgasm. I don't know that I get this so much. However, I did a podcast episode on how to come without using vibes. And the woman that I interviewed in that episode talked about energetic orgasms and how she could use breathing or sound to like create this energy that created orgasms. Have you had that?
No.
Cervical orgasm. This sounds like a goddamn nightmare to me. I don't want anyone touching my cervix during sex.
No, I know.
When it happens,
yeah, it hurts. I've had to redirect from banging on my cervix with fingers, penises that are too big.
But I have been with a woman who loved having her cervix slammed, and she had like a breeding kink. Like, I have gone down this weird rabbit hole in porn. Women who like to pretend like they're getting fucked to be bred. And I think might have to do with the cervix too.
I mean, I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, for me, I don't know that I've ever wanted my cervix slammed, but I'd like being slammed sometimes. But certain times of the month, if my cervix is in the wrong place, like because it lowers. This is good anatomy for everyone to know about women's bodies. Your cervix lowers and raises throughout the month. So when it's very low, it's really painful.
And isn't it low when you're ovulating?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's down there waiting to receive the seed.
Receive the seed. Huh? Yes.
There you go. You guys are getting a lot of sex education even right now. Spontaneous orgasm. No.
No. I mean, I would imagine that happens like, I don't know, walking down the street on a roller coaster. I don't know, sitting on the washing machine.
Yeah, it says spontaneous. It just happens without stimulation. You're just like walking around and suddenly you're like, oh. And it sounds like they're more common during intense situations, like while you're getting a tattoo or blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I could kind of see that.
On that note, listener, I I went to the sex club this Friday and I experienced E-STIM, electrical stimulation. It's a sex thing. And I was really taken aback by it. But so it sounds like that is a situation which I could understand that you could experience a spontaneous orgasm in. Mutual orgasms. You've come at the same time as your partner, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's a boring one, I think. So that
I think a lot of people haven't had that, though. So we want you to know you can have it, too. I don't know. Who controls that more, do you think?
Oh, I think typically the guy has to hold back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, I think the person with the penis.
We didn't talk about birth orgasms, giving birth. That's a thing.
Did you have one?
No, but I read about it, and apparently it can happen, but I did not.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
Highly skeptical.
I know. though there is a lot of stuff, a lot of sensations going on down there. So who knows?
That's one way to put it. All right. So now you know that there are tons of different types of orgasms. We've just run you through them, but let's get to why you're here. And let's talk about what actually makes us come. I just want to start with, is there anything right off the bat that you want to say to listeners? This is the key for me to coming.
The key to me coming. I mean, foreplay, but that need to be more specific. Okay. So I say there's a direct connection to my mouth and my vagina. If one is getting attention, the other one is probably getting wet. Like if my mouth is getting kissed, my vagina is getting wet. So there has to be some of that. I also like to direct my partners to dipping in the well. So before any like real direct clitoral stimulation, you have to go dip in the well and see if I'm wet first, and then bring the wetness to the clitoris.
We'll be right back. My code SELS20 is your key to kicking off the sexiest new year ever had when you use it at funfactory.com. Enjoy 20% off Fun Factory's luxury products, including vibrators, cock rings, lube, and more when you use my code SELS20. Check out the Vim vibrating wand. Yes, the one featured on this podcast thumbnail. Grab the nose vibrating cock ring and experience more simultaneous orgasms in 2024. And don't forget to check out their rabbit style vibes. I'm talking about the Lady Bi for toe curling blended O's all year long. Just fill your cart and use code SELS20 at checkout and enjoy 20% off when you shop funfactory.com. Cheers. Dipping with their fingers,
yeah.
With their cock?
Or their fingers.
Their fingers.
Yeah. I mean, and or usually starts with fingers and then oral sex, tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's an art form, you know, you got to.
Yeah, I don't always, like most of the time, if you do a long time enough, of course, I will likely have an orgasm from oral sex, but it's not guaranteed. So I want to ask.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed. No. That's true. It's the leading up to it, though. For me, it's all of these things are important for the leading up to it, I think. I mean, I can go probably straight to it with my vibrator, with a partner. But I don't know that that's, you know, the best. That's not the way we want you to teach you how to do it. Because we want you to explore all the options.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. For me, what I'm realizing, and I feel like even in like the last year, in the last couple of years, I've started to learn more and more. It starts for me before the touching, the real sexy part has even happened. I can be turned on or turned off. Let's say I have a partner and I know that our plan is to bang. And leading up, in the hours leading up to that sex session, maybe we have an argument or a disagreement or something happens that rubs me wrong that isn't like resolved and then brought back around to the sexiness. It will make it hard for me to really get into sex. And, I imagine I've always been this way and just never was able to tie it to a moment earlier in the evening or whatever. But for me, I think there really has to be a setup that leads me to that place of really being able to get out of the thinking part of my head and into the feeling, sensational and erotic part of my head and body. And I think it is especially maybe in the hour, the half hour leading up to getting sexy, you know, you're working, whether you're having a drink ahead of time or you're laying in bed and talking, that period of time is precious.
Yeah.
Like, do not say something snide. Don't bring up a problem we haven't yet resolved. Don't bring up maybe a political topic we disagree on. Like no. That time is when it's like, you're getting sexy with me.
Yeah.
You're saying all the nice things. You're making me feel adored. You're making me feel comfortable and loved and in this, helping me get in the sexy place.
Yeah. Yes. And I should back up. That's really important to me too. In that, was it you? I shared that video with you about like the guy, like, banging up against the girl while she's at the dishwasher. And she's like, hey, let me tell you, like, this is like, we have a million things going on in our heads. If we are parents, if we work, if we have pets, if we have elderly parents, if we have, I mean, we are the women generally are the emotional gatekeepers of all the things going on. And therefore our heads are not just thinking about orgasms all the time. I mean, we wish we, but yeah, we've got a lot of other things. So I think like, yeah, having that time to connect and like talk through some of the stuff and let go of some of the stress of, and for me, it's talking through the things, and letting go before, I can't just like shut it off. I have to, yeah, I've got to be in the right mindset. I will say, that's become so much easier for me now that my kids are older. I don't know for you if that is true.
Yes.
It's become so much easier, honestly, being single and not married as well. There's like all my shit is my own. I don't have anybody to blame it on. So I can like more easily let go of my own stuff than holding on to whatever blame or feelings of being used or I don't know, like not used, but like, yeah, being the manager of all the stuff.
Well, I think something I was thinking about, if we hearken back to our conversation on going from housewives to hoes, I think the key lies there. I've been thinking about it a lot. There was this just really sexy time in my life when I had just transitioned and embraced going from a housewife to hoe. You got to listen to that episode. And I think it's because things were so compartmentalized. When I started that experience, I would be at home doing the mom things, and then I'd have a date set up, and it was like the escape from all the mom things, the work things. When I would go out on a date, I would take like an hour. 2 hours to get ready. I would dial my, I would take a bath. I would dial in my vagina. Mm-hmm. I would like do the hair and makeup, pick an outfit I felt so sexy in. And then I'd go on the date. And by the time I was in the date, all of my other shit had been left behind. I was just this sexual being.
Yeah.
Looking to, well, hopefully if the date was hot or acceptable when I showed up to have sex, unrestrained, unshamed, uninhibited sex that in the end I could either reconnect with or I could walk away from and never even have to see the person again. Yeah. Yeah. And it was really easy for me to drop into my sexiest self and to, I mean, I even sometimes had orgasms from subpar partners just because I was feeling so fucking sexually charged.
Yeah. Yeah. I can relate to that.
And I would do whatever I want. And, you know, I think what I've noticed is now I've been with a partner for 3 years and, you know, I'm not compartmentalizing my sexuality, which is, I think, a good thing at this point in my life. This is not a complaint. But what I have learned and, you know, we've experienced together is shifting then from because your relationship then becomes part of the work of life because relationships are actually work.
Yeah.
So this is going to be useful for listeners who are in relationships and wanting to make their partners come who have noticed – like, I don't know, I bring home flowers and I tell them.
Do you bring home flowers?
No, they don't.
Come on. Bring home some fucking flowers.
Why?
Trader Joe's, it's not that expensive. Mm-mm. You can do it.
A little gifty poo. Like, even if it's not their love language, you cannot deny that, you know, your partner comes home and they're like, oh, I was out and I saw this little, like this pair of earrings or this little thing. And it feels like you've been thought of. It's not about the gift. It's about you thinking of them. But I mean, but you've noticed that you can't just shift your partner into like, how do I get sex going? I try, like I come up and I rub their back for a minute and they're like, they're like, don't touch me. I don't want to. And I think that the challenge is finding a way to shift out of the mother, the girlfriend, the employee, the CEO, and into the fucking hoe, fucking hoe.
And so it's on, I mean, I think it's important to say it's on both parties. It's ladies, it's on you to let some stuff go. It's on your partner to, both of you to say, how was your day? How can I help you relax? Is there anything I can do for you that would make you make your day better? I feel like those are like some really important things.
Yeah. And then I think between the time of like, okay, I'm going to stop the work. We have alone time and hopefully we're going to fuck. You got to figure out a way to make that shift happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've got to make a way. And during that time is not the time to bring anything up. Mm-mm. At all.
No.
Or make any sort of comment that has to do with the work of life or an issue that's still remaining between you or whatever. You've got to have that sort of like lensing period. Yeah.
And remember that you both need it. You need it, ladies, just as much as he needs it. You deserve that orgasm. It's totally, I think a lot of women, we talked about this earlier with me, like feeling like I don't deserve certain pleasures because my house is a mess or I haven't done my laundry or something like that. But yeah, we do deserve these fantastic orgasms. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, it is a bit of the compartmentalizing, like putting away the other stuff out of your mind and just letting yourself enjoy all the sensations. And hopefully your partner also, yeah, like focuses on not just the one area, but remember we have nerve endings all over our bodies.
All over our bodies.
I think that's what I'm enjoying the most about I'm in a new relationship right now. And just the like all over body touching, just like getting to know someone's body. And it's such an early stage relationship activity, but it really is important at any stage.
I agree. Sensual touch is something I've realized is a huge turn on for me. So I think something that can start to get me there is someone like, for me, like running their hands over my back or in my hair, shifting into some of that dirty talk and not like I'm pressuring you for sex. And I think that also is important, like maybe getting sexy and knowing it may not lead to penetrative sex if you're a guy, or it may not lead to oral sex or grinding if you have another female partner, like just enjoying the intimacy that you get to have and really getting into that and then seeing if it moves to the next level. You know, I think something that kind of turns me on is if I'm cuddling with someone and they start running. I don't wear a bra anymore, folks. Oh. Sometimes when I'm making videos, I do. I don't have big boobs, and I've decided, like, I think it's really sexy when I see other women with smaller boobs like me and they don't have bras on. It makes me want to, like, touch their boobies. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, if they look like that, maybe I do. But I think it's really sexy, like, that feeling of someone kind of slipping their hand under my shirt and just, like caressing my belly and then maybe, like, feeling the nipple, you know, then it's just a hint.
Yeah.
It's like a hint, but it works best when I don't feel like, okay, now I'm expected to fuck. Yeah.
Right.
Like I have to like get there.
Yeah. You have to get there. I know. It's true. You got to get there. I mean, these days it's rare for me to not want to get there. And luckily I feel safe enough with my partners to say if I'm not up for it, but it doesn't mean I don't want the sensual touch at all.
Well, so you just also gave, like, you want to make a woman come? You want to make someone with a vulva come? Mm-hmm. Make them feel safe.
Yes.
Safe to say yes. Safe to say no. Safe to say stop. Safe to say more. Mm-hmm. Safe to say, I want you to do something fucking dirty to me tonight.
Yeah.
You know, I think that if there is a takeaway from this podcast episode, your job is to make your partner feel safe in whatever they are ready for, not ready for in your time together sexually.
Yeah. Well, what do you like? Like, this is such a valuable question. What do you like? I mean, ask her, what do you like? Have her tell you what she likes. And, you know, ladies, ask him, what do you like? Have him tell you what he likes. It's very sexy.
But can I also say that for me, and not everyone, have those conversations prior to actually being in the sex mode. Oftentimes, and I understand why.
I meant beforehand.
But have you not had a partner in the middle of sex who says, what do you want? Or what do you like? Or how do you like it? And that also fucks me up, because then I go from being in my body to being in my head. And I'm like, what do I like? Mm. And then I'm like, do I like that? Then I get very analytical and my clit goes, okay, heading back inside for a while.
Yeah, right. That's true. I can relate to that.
We'll be right back. Start the new year off with a bang. My code EXPLORES15 gets you 15% off womanizer.com's famous Pleasure Air tech sex toys. You know, the clit satisfying sucking sensation that guarantees explosive orgasms. Just go to womanizer.com and check out my personal favorite, the Womanizer Duo 2. Get ready for blended orgasms, or the Premium 2. Womanizer.com has something for you, whether you are seeking clitastic satisfaction, blended orgasms, or explosive G-spot experiences. Just shop womanizer.com and use my code EXPLORES15 at checkout for 15% off. That's 15% off all womanizer.com products with my code EXPLORES15 at checkout. Cheers. Unless you have a way to do it really sexy, like, and you know what I do want? I want to bring on a guest who can really teach me how to dirty talk.
Oh God, I love dirty talk.
You talk dirty?
Yeah.
Can you do a little?
Can I do a little? I can write it better than I can say it.
But do you say it during sex?
Yeah. Yes. I say I am a talker. I'm a talker.
Do you have a go-to phrase?
I mean, I love your cock. I don't say it like that. I'm coming. That's one of my...
Oh, you do say when
I
you're
do,
coming.
I do. Big
I
time.
That more. I have been given a complaint.
I scream it. I mean, I'm screaming. I'm the loudest person. I am so fucking loud. Like, I don't know how all my neighbors... I got in trouble in the duplex when I first moved out of my house. I shared a bedroom wall with my next door neighbor, and she texted me and asked me if I could keep my quote unquote activities to before 9 p.m. because she had to work the next day. And then I proceeded to tell her that I knew her entire routine that she and her boyfriend kept.
Did she hate you?
Yeah, she was pretty embarrassed. I was like, listen, it goes both ways. Like, I know that you guys... You smoke pot, and then you laugh, and then you start kissing. Like,
and then what? And then what?
And then you start having sex. Like, anyway, she moved out before the lease was up, and I asked her if it seemed abrupt, and I asked her if I had anything to do with it, and she said not specifically, but she took her chance to leave when she could because she was not getting enough sleep.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I get it. But
yeah.
But where were we?
Okay. Loud. I'm loud.
You're dirty loud, talk. Dirty
I talk. Love dirty talk.
I do. I like to be talked dirty to once in a while. Like, I can stand in my power and I can get into dirty talk. I feel like I'm better at dirty talk when I'm in a dominant role. Mm. I'm not as good at it when I'm in more of a submissive role, which is kind of weird because sometimes like that's a super exciting role for me. But then I feel awkward like saying those things.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely can get into it both directions because, I mean, some women I've been with, I've felt more dominant. And so I can be – I can say things that are – yeah.
I just want to like watch you have sex and take notes. I feel like I've known you for a while now. We've talked about sex so much, and I like try to picture you in these situations.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time picturing it.
I know. I look so sweet.
Yeah, you do. And innocent. And she's not.
She's not. Yeah, and I have one partner that doesn't really talk, and it's been hard. He knows that I want it. And he's tried a little bit. I mean, I give him credit for trying, but it's just not part of him. He's just not a talker. And that is so hard for me. I want more words. I like want to hear.
I love it too.
That I'm sexy and beautiful and that you want to fuck me and, you know, asking me if I want to take your cock and like, you know, all those things. I want to hear it. I love it. It's great.
And that stuff in advance definitely turns me on. Like someone mm-hmm. who really knows how to say the things and like get me there. Unfortunately, I realize that I feel like when I'm feeling sexy, I'm good at starting the mood in the right. So I don't know, guys. Basically, I think what we're saying is know how to initiate the mood. The transition time. Don't fuck it up by saying something dumb. Take classes on how to talk sexy. Not that I've done that, but I need to. And like, I think it's a persona you've got to own. Like, you got to step into your sexual self, put your sex talk voice on, and like get into it.
Yeah. I love your body. I love the way you are with me.
Specific compliments too.
Yes.
All right. So let's get to more orgasmic stuff. Can I talk from the position of having made women come?
Yeah, sure. I don't even know if I've made that. Have I made that many women come? I don't know. Okay. Yes, please.
I have a good track record.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's so funny because I am very proud of my track record of making women come. However, I have it. It's not, it doesn't translate to dating women as easy for me. It's just like once we're in bed, I'm like, I fucking know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, let me take care of you. Just lie back, you dirty little bitch.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's where I really like.
There you go.
I've been shocked at, I feel really confident in that area. And I think part of it is I'm just really into the pussy that I'm dealing with. And I think that feels really good. I also know from my own experience, like knowing that someone is really into my pussy and my body turns me on. Yeah. And I think what you said earlier is super important. Like, first of all, she's got to be in the mood and ready to go. And then, you know, even in those first, especially with first timers, someone you're new to, but there's always, I think, a little bit of self-consciousness oftentimes that comes into our bodies. Like, oh, someone's looking at my pussy. They're about to touch it or taste it or whatever. And I think I feel like it's very important to take that nervousness away, whether I tend to step into my more dominant, like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
To dirty talking about it. But what I've found oftentimes is just like rubbing around like the mound of the pussy first and the thighs while making out with them and spreading their legs open. And then like just running my fingers over the top of the clit and the lips, not like right on the clit, but just like letting the pussy know, let the pussy know.
You're there.
We're heading in a direction.
Yeah.
And I'm not in a rush.
Right.
But it's time to wake up, baby. Mm-hmm. Like it's time to wake up, babe.
Yeah.
And like during this time you can be making out, like you said, the making out, like the lip to pussy thing, that's a thing for me, and that's why I like 69. Because I love, like, having a cock in my mouth and then having someone, like, sucking on my clit at the same time. But, you know, you can be making
out. To me, that's, like, too much stimulation. I just want to focus on one thing at a time.
Ooh, I want it both. Or you can be, like, sucking on tits.
Yes.
Or whatever. And then you do the dip. Stick mm-hmm. test, right? Mm-hmm. I'm always really gentle because one thing I know on my own body is if someone with dry fingers, especially if you're a guy and you do any hard labor, if you have hands that are rough, first of all, lotion up ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you stick and you just push a finger in, you will make cut your nails and wash your hands. But you can make that skin raw really fast just mm-hmm. by shoving your finger in. Yeah. Like one time and it's not ready. So I always like really take my time putting my finger in that. I'm like very – and if it's super dry, I'll like angle it. Because sometimes it will still be dry on the
edges.
Yeah. On the edges. Mm-hmm. But then if you like angle your finger back more towards the anus or the perineum mm-hmm. and then you go in from that way.
Yeah.
That skin isn't as fragile. Mm-hmm. So you're putting your pressure more on the perineum and then you dip your finger in and you feel a little bit of moistness. You can kind of get in there and you can start drawing it out along that vaginal opening. And that, I did not know this.
I'm getting squiggly in my seat. Know,
it's a little bit of a turn on, isn't it? Yeah. Sexy as fuck. Me too. I'm like, God damn it. But no, the thing I just learned with a sex toy I have reviewed that will be up by the time this podcast goes out for the Rave 2 G-Spot and Clit Stimulator. I learned while researching for that, because I put a lot of effort into mm-hmm. my reviews, that the vaginal opening from the vaginal opening, that skin leading from the vagina to the clit, it has like more nerves than most of the areas of the vagina. It's a very erotic area that is completely under attended to because everyone's going for the G-spot or the clit. But if you start drawing the wetness up mm-hmm. along that mm-hmm. place and playing in that area and then dipping back in and then draw the wetness up, then dip. Don't shove your finger all the way in.
No, not at first.
You know, I mean, you were just at the opening, like dipping, and then you get it all the way up to the clit. And then by that time, you're, trust me, like shit's happening down there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you get the clit wet and you play with it and then you like really start to go a little bit deeper. I have found that that goes pretty well. Now, I don't have a dick. Trust me, I wish I did. But I imagine like a little bit of time doing that and she's going to be interested in your cock.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think so. And sometimes I'm ready at that point for cock, but mostly I want a lot of fingers before I want a cock.
Do you like the slow addition of fingers?
Like you mean what you just described?
Well, I mean
adding more than one finger?
Yeah, like I think it's really hot to like, you know, I always start with one finger. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah.
And then if I feel someone, so another thing that it's not really a trick, and maybe we've talked about it here, is if you're paying attention as you dip your finger in to get more fluid, you will start to feel that flesh, the G-spot-ish area, it starts to swell up and get puffy.
I don't have enough experience for that.
And then as it starts to get puffy,
even on my own body,
then you ask, would you like another finger? Would you like to try two?
Okay.
And sometimes they're like, no. Just stay at that. And then sometimes they're like, yes, I want more. Okay. We'll be right back. Kick off the new year with a jaw-dropping 30% off of some of the hottest sex toys. And my favorite, Gleam Lube, with code EXPLORERS30 when you shop thethruster.com. Known as the home of the incredible Build Your Own Thruster Prime, thethruster.com is also partnered with lassiere.com, where you'll find gorgeous vibrating steel toys, and boutiquevoila.com, where you can grab a vibrating lipstick, a rubber ducky that gets lucky, or even get pounded by Thor's hammer literally, all for 30% off with code EXPLORES30. Just head to thethruster.com where you'll find The Thruster, La Sierre, and Boutique Voila and enjoy 30% off your site-wide purchases with code EXPLORES30 at checkout. Cheers.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. This is a good learning lesson for me as well.
But I think that that's like, you start with a mood and mm-hmm. then you start with like, play with the pussy, pet her, mm-hmm. dip your finger in, but don't fuck up that flesh, the skin. It's not flesh. It's the skin.
Yeah.
The vaginal opening skin. Yeah.
The skin. Yes.
If membrane. You hurt it right away, it's.
Yeah. No, then it's no good. I like then someone to really examine, like look at my pussy, look at it, like examine it, see how beautiful it is, like you were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. Talk about it, talk to it. Yeah. And ooh. And then slowly start, you know, putting your tongue on the side of the clitoris. That is, I think, yeah. where the magic spot is. It's not like directly on it. It's not like pulling back the hood and no, it's like on the side of the hood. Is that right for you too?
Yeah. I don't like when people try to pull the hood back. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, what are you doing? That yeah. feels a little rough. I am a big fan of, yeah, the skin all the way around mm-hmm. the clitoris. So that would be the hood on yeah, either
yeah.
side.
Yeah. yeah. Once you've like established a good continuous motion, it doesn't have to be too vigorous. It doesn't have to be too slow, but not too fast, not too hard, not too light. It's got to be like this even pressure. Definitely not too hard though.
Because no. then it gets raw.
Yeah, then it gets raw. And then you insert a finger while you're doing that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then you maybe insert another finger.
But not all that. The way. Just don't no. shove it all the way in. Like, just start with the tip.
Yeah, yeah. Start with the tip. See how that feels for her. I don't want your finger just sitting there, though, at the opening. You need to be moving it
back just a little
and forth.
That's something we talked about in my podcast on chronic pain and sex. Is micro movement sex something that I think applies here, especially once you've got the clit warmed up? Is and if you put a penis, I hate that word, but if you mm-hmm. put a dick in and you do kind of just the tip, and by this time, obviously the G spot is mm-hmm. woken up and ready to go, then I like to just do little movements while riding the tip of the dick right there. Mm. And like flicking my own clit mm-hmm. on top. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if the guy in this case wants to help with the clit stimulation, yeah. fine. But I think it's a little more difficult
yeah.
for him.
Yeah.
And then that micro movement as I start to get closer to orgasm will get bigger. And mm-hmm. then I'll start going deeper. And that's when the A spot wakes up.
Oh.
And then I start going really deep.
Yes.
But then I may like even slow down and do like small little movements. I think
it's. And are you imagining these little movements? Where are you? Are you laying down?
I can do that better. I can do it from on top. Mm-hmm. I can do it from actually. But to be fair favorite. And honest, if I am on bottom, I like both top and bottom. If I'm on bottom, then I'm instructing my mm-hmm. partner just to do small movements. And I can help, mm-hmm. but the person with a penis has to do, it's yeah. definitely a hip workout. Like
it is, yeah.
He's definitely been sore afterwards.
And I've heard that a bit lately.
I'm like, he'll like start to go deeper and I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like being on the bottom because I will be rubbing my clit and like looking at yeah. my partner, like getting some eye candy.
Yeah.
Because it's a great way to view your partner.
Yes.
You can see their chest, boobies if they have them, their mm-hmm. abs mm-hmm. while they're like thrusting very, very small thrusts and hitting your G spot. And at the same time, if you have a vibrator or if you have a clit sucker, which is my favorite, you can be having that thing suck on your clit while they're just like fucking doing those little movements. And mm-hmm. then they get faster and deeper when you're like, I want more. And then you're just like, fuck me. Yeah. Right as you come.
Yeah.
That's how I come. Wow. Mm. I just kind of acted that out.
You did. That was very sexy. Okay.
That is how I come.
Interesting. I don't do the little movements. I have never instructed anyone to do that as much, but I have experienced it. I feel like without even, I don't know, my new partner, I think he does that. I think he is doing that. Mm. And I like it. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to listen to this. I do like it. I don't think it's anything we've talked about, though. Yeah, it's just that wasn't part of, I mean, I just haven't, yeah, more, it's been like more deep thrusting, but it is really, it's the tease, right? It's a little bit of the tease, the leading up to it.
Yeah.
I guess I also want to dispel any myths that a woman shouldn't use her vibrator any fucking time she wants to come while you're having sex. 100%, it's okay. It doesn't mean she's dependent on it. It doesn't mean anything at all. It means it's a tool for pleasure, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I've had a conversation with some friends recently where my other friend and I walked away and my friend said, I feel so sorry for her. She, you know, that she has to use her vibrator. I was like, what? I don't feel sorry for that ever. No, like I feel sorry for you if you're not using one every time, because vibrators are fucking awesome. That's what they're made for. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't use fun stuff. Like, think about any other thing you do for enjoyment. Most of the things you do for enjoyment, you have equipment you get to enhance the experience, whether it's yoga or bike riding or four-wheeling or, I mean, it's hard for me to think of something that you do for pleasure and fun and entertainment in which you don't get something else to enhance it.
Yeah, right.
You know, yes, I can definitely have an orgasm with a partner with us just using our hands to touch my clit while I'm getting fucked. But, you know, having this little clit sucker, I can just stick on my clit, work less, and just be in my body and mind enjoying the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So no... Yeah, everyone out there listening, if you're not using toys, yes, 100% go follow the links after this podcast to go buy some.
And the thing about having a variety of toys, and I would suggest have a vibrator, have a clit sucker, have some anal toys. As long as your partner is okay with that, you might want to talk to them ahead of time. They help you explore your body as a vulva owner. And we are talking about vulva, how to make vulva owners and women come.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here. Like, there's a whole different discussion. I also have toys for men, and people with penises. But I think because of how many toys I've had to test and because of my 365 days of orgasms experience, I've learned so many. It's kind of like we've mentioned, I like the urethral opening. I like the skin around the clit, like Liberty was saying.
Yeah.
People go straight for the clit and the G-spot. And there are so many areas around it.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't talked about, right, you and I haven't talked about anal anything right now.
We should talk about anal because I really have intense, wonderful orgasms with anal sex.
Same, same. And I love it. And yet it's not something that happens all the time because I do think, if we're honest, it takes some preparation. Do you think so?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yes. Yeah, you don't just go for the butt. You don't
just go for it. No. I want to make sure I'm not alone in that. Because it's not something we talk about with our friends every single day. But no, I mean, yeah, it takes some preparation, but I love it. And yeah, I wish it were something that happened all the time. And I wish my partners licked my butt more, but I have to prepare for that.
Right. So can you have an orgasm from getting a rim job? It's called a rim job, I believe.
Yes. I don't know if I can. Probably not an orgasm. Maybe if I was like had clitoral stimulation at the same time. It would definitely be a different kind of orgasm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I also can have an orgasm easier when I have like a butt plug in mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you want to give your girl a great orgasm and she's open to butt play, getting to the point where you can put a butt plug in her mm-hmm. prior. Well, I don't know. Maybe we need to talk about that. Obviously, you want to warm her up a little bit. You want to get sexy, get the mood sexy, mm-hmm. make out, you know, maybe do the little wake the pussy up a little bit. But what I have found I like to do when my partner and I do that is I lay back on the bed and a pillow under my lower back so that, you know.
I have a wedge.
Yeah, a wedge. That's smart. Do you have a wedge? I don't have a wedge.
Oh, my partner got it for me for Christmas last year.
That is brilliant. I would love to have a wedge, so I guess I need to look into those. And obviously, you've got to have lube. I've also prepared for it earlier in the night, which means for me, I do like a very low-key enema. I'm not talking about enema up into my inner guts.
No, no.
I'm talking about
a squeeze bottle.
Little squirt, squirt. Little squirt, squirt, which I actually feel pretty good afterwards.
I do too. Yeah.
I feel like it's a good thing.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. And there are, you can buy squirt bottles and little enema bottles for butt play. So you're clean and you're not worried about poop as much. Mm-hmm. And then I get a clit sucker and I put it on my clit, my pussy. I like pleasure air. And he gets out the lube and he sits there and he slowly puts the tip in and pulls it out and slowly puts it in, you know, and asks me and then tells me I'm a good girl because I'm taking more, all of that stuff, which is really hot.
Yeah.
And like I can get really close to orgasm just from that experience.
Yeah. Right? You really, I think you have to have the clitoral stimulation to relax enough for it to all work out.
But that's like orgasmic. If you want to make mm-hmm. her come and she's open to, I think there's something about butt play too that's just the taboo nature of it mm-hmm. is pretty exciting.
It's pretty hot. Yeah, it for is. Sure. For it sure. Yeah.
But so I don't think I don't think rimming is a big part of my current sex life.
It's not part of mine either. It's happened like a few times in my life.
But and you've loved it.
Yeah. But I also, yeah.
I had a partner who loved to eat ass. Mm. Like he ate my ass like it was fucking pie.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
He would just went in, but I don't know if it never gave me an orgasm.
Yeah.
So let's round up.
Okay.
This has been a conversation that has spanned a lot of shit. We gave you all the different types of orgasms that are out there. And we're going to start summing up. You know, I'm not going to relist the 17 types of orgasms that we mentioned, but I think when it comes to making us come, for me, and I think you too, one of the most important things is helping us get out of our non-sexual selves.
Yeah.
And there's so many parts to our non-sexual selves.
Yeah.
So creating this sort of barrier to that world and the sexy world and letting us get into our hoe.
Yeah. Yeah. Safety, making us feel safe.
Oh, yeah. Making us feel safe. And what were the tips for making us feel safe? Having those conversations in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. Having conversations. Yes. Just letting us be ourselves. I don't know. Yeah.
Telling us that if at any point we want to stop, you're mm-hmm. okay with that. It's not going to be personal.
No.
And I'll tell you what, you can ruin the safety piece really quick by getting butt hurt the first time that she shuts
it's
you
true.
Down.
It's
like
true.
Guys will always be like, I'm not pushing you. Whatever happens, happens, and it's great. And then the first time you're like, yeah, I'm not quite there, it becomes this big issue. And instantly we know that we're not safe to shut things down.
Right.
Or we're going to be punished on some level if we shut things down. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
What we need to know is if we shut it down, it's like you check in and you're like, okay, are you okay? Is there anything you need? Mm-hmm. And it's done.
Yeah.
It's not like the next 2 weeks.
Right.
Like something's wrong, obviously. Yes, you didn't want to fuck me last night.
Yeah, you didn't want to fuck me 2 weeks ago.
Right, right. And then it's you've ruined the safety.
Yeah, right. That's true.
So making us feel safe and then
Just setting the mood, like the sensual touch.
The sensual touch.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't add about the sensual touch that I have learned this year is that when I'm working on coming, meaning I'm having sex and like hoping to have an orgasm, and let's say I'm on my back and my partner's in front of me doing the micro movements, I have found that if someone, the person who's inside of me.
Yeah.
runs their fingers lightly over my lower belly and the mound of my vagina. Holy shit. Or like start sucking or flicking my boobs.
Yeah.
That's all sensual stuff. Yeah. Add sensual play. Explore her body.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about nipple orgasms. Okay.
Yeah. I haven't had one. Oh, you had a nipple orgasm. We're going to back up for a second. How'd that happen?
Mine have always been me straddling the person, facing them, and kissing and like sort of like dry humping. One of the times at least I was fully clothed when it happened. I mean, I think my top was off, my bra was off, but, and it was just like, I might have, these are how big my nipples are, people. See?
You gotta go to YouTube. You gotta go to YouTube.
They're not very big, but yeah, this like rolling. Just this like gentle rolling in between their fingers, rhythmically, but not too hard, not too soft. I don't know if it's just like the right timing. Cause I mean, sometimes I think that can get to be too much. And I just can have an orgasm from that.
Wow.
It's so wild. It is just, wow. Full. It's a different kind. It is like that body orgasm. It feels amazing. I haven't had it in a while.
So I mean, that goes back to sensual touch.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
It's just exploring the body and touching it and finding a place on the body that lights someone up and then continuing to light it up.
Yeah. And then like following that with some penetration is pretty amazing. Yeah.
So sensual touch, guys. And again, that's something you've got to talk to a person about ahead of time. Some people don't like the light touch. They like scratches or they like their touch done differently.
Yeah.
So talking in advance to people about how do you like to be touched? What areas don't you want touched?
Right.
I've been known to like torture some nipples, not knowing it was torturing someone who was like, don't touch my nipples.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, there's been times when my nipples are off limits. Like it doesn't feel good. I feel like the key to that, the nipple orgasm, was simultaneous touching. Only one at a time is not going to get it. Not there for me.
Two hands,
it's like
guys.
It's like too much on one side.
Right.
I need the simultaneous thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, you would have known that because she is over here, like doing the little nipple
dance
on our titties. Then, you know, we talked about the slow approach to the vagina, and a quote from Rose Covenant, who I interviewed for the Chronic Pain and Sex podcast episode, is she said, I tell new partners to approach my pussy like she's a wild animal. If you move too fast, you're going to scare off. And once you've scared her off,
right,
that's it. She's not coming back from that.
Right.
And so I think that that's kind of what we talked about in my story about how I approach a pussy.
Yeah, definitely.
Padding. And what did you call it? The dipstick test?
I call it dipping in the well or the honey pot.
I like honey pot.
Yeah. Sort of just like a little dip to and drawing it up. You got to draw up that wetness and spread it all around.
All over the place.
Yeah. Way more sexy than some dry rubbing.
And don't hurt the skin right.
Right.
And that leads into the vaginal canal. That vaginal opening, the skin there is tender. Mm-hmm. Don't bring your calloused fingers that area and shove it in when it's dry, because that's it. That's it. It's all over, folks.
Totally.
Yeah. Lube.
Lube. You could. So, yeah, I don't think we emphasized how important lube is.
We did not. Shame on us.
So important.
Yeah, and you need to have that available, because sometimes some women don't produce enough fluid either way, and then you can actually still do that dipping in the well using the lube.
If a man doesn't own lube, like, that is an immediate turn off for me. It's an immediate, like, oh, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to touch a woman. Like, you have to own it. You have to have it on hand.
So if you do not own lube right now, it says you need to really listen to this podcast from day one.
Yeah.
Yes. It's problematic.
It is problematic for sure.
Yeah. Be willing to try new things.
Yes. Be willing to try new things.
Be open to new things that you thought were weird before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if she brings up something, don't yuck her yum. Don't react strangely. You can freak out. Just wait until you're gone.
Internally.
Work through it on your own.
Yeah.
And because she's not going to come if she's bored. If you are boring her, she's not going to come.
But also, I mean, you also want to be, don't be afraid to take direction.
Don't be afraid to take direction. Yeah. That's important.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, don't be scared of something you have never experienced or tried before.
Yeah. If she says, do this to me.
And you're not sure, you can be sexy about it. You can be like, show me.
Show me. I like that.
Yeah. Show me what you want. Take her hand with your hand. If she's asking you to do something and you're not sure and it involves hands, have her take your hand with your hand and show you.
I love that tip. Instead of saying to her, how do you like it? Do you want it faster or slower?
Yeah, no.
Say, show me.
Yeah.
In a sexy way, because I know that when I get asked those questions, it really puts it can frustrate me, because I'm trying really hard to be in my body. And if you're asking me analytical questions, it takes me out of the experience.
Yeah.
And something we should have mentioned, maybe first of all, if you are penetrating a woman, you're doing a thing, and suddenly she says, I'm about to come, do not change what you're doing.
That's right. And was on a meme recently.
It was. And it was so important. And here's the thing. We've been telling you this forever, and you still fucking do it.
Yeah.
You still fucking do it. You still change what you're... Don't fucking change a thing.
If she says she's about to come, keep doing the thing.
She'll say faster, deeper. She'll tell you if she wants you to change it up.
Yeah, right. Yes.
But if she doesn't say faster, if she doesn't say deeper, and she's just like, I'm going to come, stay where you're at.
Yeah.
Or you can ask. You can say, if you've been holding back... You can say, can I come with you?
Mm-hmm.
But still, still don't, that's not where you don't get excited about yourself. Let her tip over the edge, get well into her orgasm, and then like you can, you know, get more. And usually for me, I don't know about you, Liberty, but as soon as I come, I'm like, fuck me. Now I'm like, fuck me.
Yes.
Like, fuck me now. Yes. Now you just have your way with me. Sometimes I'll take the clit stimulation off and I'll be like, just pound me for the next hour. I'm good, you know? And then maybe after 10 minutes of being pounded, I'll stick the clit sucker back on and I'll come again.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you.
But don't change.
Don't change. Nope. Mm-hmm. Don't change. And same for the ladies. I mean, sometimes we're like...
Oh, I totally just start humping faster when I hear, I'm like, when he's like, oh, I'm so close. Okay. All right. Let's go, buddy.
Yeah.
Wait, do you think it is the same? Or are we not supposed to do that?
I don't know. This is a good question. Well, maybe we'll get some feedback.
penis owners, guys, yeah. men, answer this question. When you say to us, I'm about to come, I'm getting close, do you want us to go faster? Do you want us to keep doing what we're doing?
Like if we're giving you a blowjob, should we stick to the rhythm?
Do we stay with it?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than when someone's like, and usually it's when you're going down on them because they know our jaws can only handle that so long. They'll be like, I'm so close. When you say that to us, shall we keep doing what we're doing or should we do it? Like, I'm just like, oh, I guess I need to do it harder and faster to get this the fuck over with.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yes, we need to know. We need to know.
We do need to know. On that note, if you have questions, comments, revelations, you think we got it wrong, you want us to go more in depth, you can leave me a voicemail. Mm-hmm. I now have a voicemail.
That's so exciting.
Scroll down. The link is going to always be in the description of this podcast. You can also go to lockerroomtalkpodcast.com and it's right there. You just hit the button. You don't have to share your name. I will not share your voice. I will protect your anonymity. If you want to give me a funny name, I'll use it. If you want me to use your first name because you want to hear me say your name, I will do that. But just leave those questions and Liberty and I will come back and address all the questions we get.
That sounds great.
Yeah, we want to answer your questions. All right. Well, so I think we've at least helped you understand where to start if you're hoping to make her come, if you're hoping to have really good sex. We've given you the biggies. The biggies are in this podcast. And I'm sure that there are tons of other tips that we could give you. And I'm sure we will in the future. But until then, try these out and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Did you make her come? That's what I want to know.
Yes. Did you make her come?
Did you make her come?
Hope you did.
Yeah. And until next time, we'll see you in the locker room.
Bye.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ring loop.
Bring sexy back in 2024 with hot lingerie, sensual body products, and adventurous sex toys from lovehoney.com, all at a 15% discount with code EXPLORES15. Embrace your inner bombshell with their gorgeous bra and panty sets, baby dolls, and corsets. Then explore your desires with their line of toys that range from vanilla is my flavor to tie me up and call me good girl daddy. And don't forget to treat yourself to a massage candle or a sensual body oil, all for 15% off with code EXPLORES15 when you shop lovehoney.com. That's right, 15% off on lingerie, sex toys, and more when you shop lovehoney.com and use code EXPLORES15 at checkout. Cheers.